I don't know if that's a bad sign or not. He said he's going to speak, take the children out, so I don't know what that means. That could be bad. I don't know what's in the bag, but we may find out later. I want you to know that that should have been a wrestling bag, because what we're going to talk about is wrestling a little bit in prayer, but what I have in there wouldn't fit. I would not carry that bag around on a normal basis. I want you to know. By the way, I'm waiting someday for, we get to heaven someday to hear Andy say, and we're singing. I love that. I just got to say again, it's just such a pleasure to have three people, you know, as we work together on this, provoke each other during the week, and it's just a great thing. We had in Sunday school today, Jonathan led, and it's just such a pleasure to see the body of Christ as we work together, right? That way God gets all the glory, we get out of the way, and that's what happens. I would kind of almost relate it like a baton race. And so last week, Andy pointed out some things that were really important, and he handed me the baton. Next week, Dwayne will get the baton. But one of the things that Andy said to us last week, he ended with, was this idea of love. And so I want to continue that in just a minute. By the way, we are hearing some of the comments that we get in the box. And so one of them I thought was kind of humorous. It said, either the trees are too tall or the elders are too short. Andy, I represent that statement. And that hurt my feelings, but we'll have to get over it. So I just want you to know, I'll try to be seen. When I was a child, they told my dad always said, remember, children are to be seen and not heard. But we'll try to do that. Charlie's here. He brought me sprinkles today, too. So, Hallie, did you bring me some sprinkles, too? No. We met at Freddy's on Friday night, and I tried to get some sprinkles and some ice cream from them. And like all of us, we don't always like to give away the things that we have. I even traded tater tots, but that to no avail. But I will say, Cooper finally gave me a little bit of a scoop, of which I did not take. Not that I don't love your kids, but I'm not doing that, that's for sure. But anyway, it's always fun to look at that and seeing Jonathan and Chandler with their kids out on a Friday night eating ice cream. What a beautiful picture that was. Well, today we're going to continue with this love thing in verse 8, and we're going to go on to this idea of prayer. One of the things that's come that I've gotten feedback on is, how do we pray? How do we know what God wants for us? I think today what's that? That's okay. Well, good. I'm probably the one that did it. That's probably would fit me teaching today if it was misspelled. But anyway, as we do this today, I hope at the end, I'm going to try an analogy. This is actually, I've taught for years, and I'm usually not very nervous. I'm nervous about what's in this bag because I don't know how it's going to come off. I'm almost as nervous as when I first got married. My wife came in. Steve, you'll like this because I just ate some of your fish. But when you first get married, you're not very smart. Now, you continue to not be very smart later on. But I thought that the kitchen sink was the perfect place to clean fish. And apparently that was not the best place to clean fish early on. But anyway, I felt a little bit like I was doing in here. My wife was helping me last night, but I'll tell you a little bit about that in just a minute. Let's pray as we get started today. Father, we do come to you again. I just appreciate being lifted up, Andy and Dwayne, and we've just, you just don't know how close people are and the friendships that you have until difficulties come, and I thank you for them. I thank you for the people of Wellspring, and I mostly thank you for you. Thank you for your son. Help us to walk in his word that we might know how we ought to. And this thing of prayer, Lord, as we communicate with you, how might you instruct us in how to pray and how to know what you would have for our lives? We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's get to it. Let's go to Colossians 1, 9 through 11. If we can put those verses up there. We'll read these together, and it's also on your paper. I'm not big on technology in the classroom. Some people know that. It's interesting because if you look at what's happened, there's something called the Flynn effect. This is a totally aside for anybody out there teaching, okay? Since the 1800s, IQ has generally gone up every generation except for this generation. And there's something happening to our kids, and I think you can relate it to what's going on with technology, and it's also affecting the study of God's Word. Our kids today just cannot read and comprehend like they used to. And so we have to be really good in church about expositing God's Word, breaking it down. That's what I'm going to attempt today to do with you. So let's begin reading, if you will, together with me. Verse 9. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Amen. So today as we start, number one, if you look there on your outline, we start with this idea of intercessory prayer, praying for other people. If we look back, though, as Andy handed us the baton last week, it says the reason. Well, verse 8 contains the reason. Do you see the reason? What's the reason in verse 8? Paul had heard what? Of your love in the Spirit. Now, that's interesting. It's not just that, hey, you guys like each other, or even that you love each other, you're close, you do. It's love in the Spirit. That's going to be really important as we continue. So your love in the Spirit, that eternally interceding agape love. The cause of love, of course, is the Holy Spirit. It's not just an affection. It's deeper than that. It's beyond that. It's the sacrificial, lay down your life kind of love. So three things there I'd have you look at. Number one, alive in love and spirit. We have a spirit that has now been made alive. This spirit we see in 1 John 4, we love because He first loved us. We can't love without Him. In fact, that's why it's so important that we are together, yoked together, fellow laborers together, both of us together in the Word. Number two, that love is eternal and complete. Hebrews 17:25, and I try to have scripture for most of these points because it doesn't really matter what I think, but it says this, therefore He is able to save completely, think of that, completely, complete, forever, those who come to Him through God, since He always lives to intercede for us. Jesus today reigns on the throne, living to intercede for us. Philippians also says this over chapter 1, I thank God for your fellowship in the gospel, confident that He who began a good work in you will complete it until the end. So we intercede because we're modeling Christ Jesus. That's what He's doing for us. And number three, it's a saving love. He who began that good work in you, first of all, justifies you. I think that's your first blank right there. We are justified, I would say, in the Spirit that was once dead. The Garden of Eden, when the enemy came and said to Eve, right? If you eat that, you will not surely die. Did she physically die immediately? No. But see, that was the deception. You take the truth, you hollow it out, and you stuff the lie in there. She died. Adam died spiritually. The spirit was dead. The body kept on going, but the spirit was dead. God has enlivened our spirit through justification. And then He carries it on, perfecting love through sanctification. That's your second blank. We are in the process right now being sanctified. And thirdly, He's doing that until the day of Christ Jesus, the Scripture says. What does that mean? That means I'm going to continue to be sanctified and perfected until I step through death's door or Jesus comes back to get me. Either way, I'm continuing that process. We just had Valentine's Day last week, so I thought, you know, I'll throw something in for Valentine's Day. Elizabeth Browning said, my dear, how do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I wonder if, as a body, if we said, how do we love one another? Let us count the praise. How much do we pray for one another? Because that's really when we're interceding for one another. Do we truly take on the burdens of one another? Russ having his knee replaced, I think, was it Wednesday? Do we think about that? You know, we try to practice in Sunday school looking at each other and saying, as through the week, if God awakens us to say, just stop and pray for that person. So in summary, that first point I would say is that prayer is eternal and interceding love in the Spirit. Next, God's will in that first verse there. What is God's will? I hear this a lot. How do we know how to pray God's will? Well, the Apostle Paul, I think, has given us a really good insight here into what is God's will. Verse 9, quote, says this, asking, okay, what's Paul asking for us? Asking that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And then I included another version of that, which says this, and I think it kind of gives us some insight. Or, quote, filled with the perception of the want of him in wisdom and spiritual understanding. What is the perception? How does God see it, right? Not how do I see it, how does he see it? So three things there. Number one, God's knowledge. Would we be filled with God's knowledge? Would we know as he knows? In the Greek, they call that phroneo. That's chapter 2 of Philippians, the mind of Christ. In essence, that we would want and desire and perceive things the way he sees it. His glory, our good. That's Romans 8, 28 and 29, right? We know that all things, what? Work together for good, right? We hear the world say that. It's all going to work out. That's not what the Scripture says. It says all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose, right? Because those he called, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So when those things are happening to us in life and we say, man, this doesn't feel good, God's saying, I know it doesn't feel good, but it's going to be good, right? Right, Dennis? It's a tough week this week, wasn't it, brother? I prayed for you. But we're learning, aren't we? That it doesn't always feel good, but in the end, it will be good. Number two, godly wisdom. What is that? Godly wisdom is choosing things that will end up bringing praise to him, praiseworthy outcomes. Not for me, but for him. And the only way we can do that is to have a couple of things. Number one, discernment. Discernment is judgment. Boy, that's a bad word in this society, right? Don't judge me. Don't judge me. Isn't that funny? That's usually... Imagine your kids saying that, they catch them in the candy jar. Don't judge me, Dad, huh? What would we say? I'll show you. Yeah, okay, all right, discernment. Discernment is judgment of what is right and what is commendable. It's what pleases God. Secondly is discretion. Discretion is practical wisdom. It's doing what's right. And finally, prudence. I was going to do a George Bush imitation, but some of you weren't around, when he would tell Saddam, right, wouldn't be prudent, right? He kept telling him that. But prudence is avoiding evil. So discretion is doing the good. Prudence is avoiding the evil. And finally, spiritual understanding. He says that right there at the end of that verse, that we might have wisdom and spiritual understanding. Well, what does that mean? Spiritual understanding is comprehension of both truth and reality. I hope you've heard that before, haven't you? Reality. We're in a psychology class right now, and some people have a hard time dealing with reality. Hang on to that word for just a minute. Reality is being insane, if you will, with God's mind. Reality by Scripture. It's the Word made flesh and illuminated, if you will, by the Holy Spirit, the interpreter. It reveals the mysteries of God. In fact, John 16 tells us this. When he... the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide us into all truth. We have a society not living in truth right now, right? They don't see it God's way. Well, what is this kind of truth? What's it result in? Number one, godliness. You've heard that term before. What's it mean? Godliness means to be like God in what we care for and what we desire, his affections. We like what he likes, okay? You watch some of these parents, right? And you see the dad walk, and the dad has a certain walk. Then you see the son, and they'll walk right behind him, right? They look like he looks, right? They act like he acts. You start to see that come out. That's godliness, is we're basically being like God. The second thing is righteousness. That's a fancy word for acting like God. So not only are we like God, godliness, we are also righteous. That also comes out in our actions. And the third thing is oneness. Oneness is that we are so together. Okay? Michelle, I need you to cover your ears for just a minute. All right, you know how like couples, when they get married so long, they start looking like each other? I know that's a bad thought for you. Okay? Don't worry. Tracy's saying the thing, same thing, right? We know that, but you know how like they finish each other's sentences? Isn't that great? Because we become so entwined with one another. That's what God wants for us, is that's how we know each other to that well. Bob, I understand. Bob, it's the same thing, isn't it? Yeah. I say, we just become that kind of one. So it's John 17. I think John 17 is the real Lord's Prayer, where he says, just as you and I are one, may they be one. I mean, it goes on and on. Jonathan read it again today in Sunday school, right? It's an incredible chapter. And we become so one like him that you can't see the difference. Wouldn't that be great if people confused us with Jesus? Yeah, it really would. So, again, why are people in sin? People are in sin because people are insane. They are out of reality. When we are out of God's reality, we get drawn into sin. But when we see it the way God sees it, we don't sin, if you will, against him. What are some other prayers then? Ephesians, I'll just give you a couple of these that are not in your notes. Ephesians 1 says this, quote, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in your knowledge of him. That's the prayer, Paul. Philippians 1, love may abound in knowledge, insight, discernment. Ephesians 4, that unity of faith, knowledge of Christ, matureness to follow him. If we are one with God, we will be godly. We'll think like him. We'll act like him in righteousness. We can only know the will of God when we know who God is. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So the goal, the summary right there, be insane, not insane. Point number three, the practicality of prayer. It says there, if you look at that verse again, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. See if anybody remembers this. Andy said something last week that was really important. He said that when the time is accomplished, the disciple will know what the master knows. Is that what he said? He said, when the time's finished, the disciple will be like the master. You understand that? So, like this is something that's big in schooling is, you know, the Greeks, the Hellenists would always say, well, you want to be like Plato, you know everything Plato knows. You want to be like Socrates, you know everything Socrates knows. And wisdom and knowledge, you're going to attain that so you can show it off. Jesus says, I don't want you to know what I know, I want you to be who I am. And I thought that was a great point that he brought out last week. So three things there. Number one, in this practicality, verse 10, what are we looking for? God wants us to glorify him and be satisfied in him. If we glorify him, we'll be satisfied. If we do everything for ourselves, we will be dissatisfied. How many of us have done, right? You buy the new car, shiny, you drive it around, 6 months later, you're like, oh, look at that piece of junk, right? It's never that good. Why is that? Because we can't be satisfied in ourselves. See, if you love yourself, you love something that is impure. Only God is worth that kind of love. He's the only true love that we'll ever have because he's true. And everything about him is true. So what are we to do? We're to enjoy God, live life to its fullest, and be fully pleasing to him. Number two, purpose, not pity. I can't remember which one, Dwayne or Andy, liked this one, but some people think God saved us because he pitied us. Or he can't live without us. Have you heard that one? God's up there in heaven going, oh boy, I tell you, what am I going to do? Heaven's going to be empty. I got all these angels and all this, right? Right? He didn't pity us, right? He has called us for a purpose to glorify him. We are called for purpose, not pity. He does not do that to us. He knows the purpose of salvation, and that is what it says right there in verse 10, to be worthy of his sacrificial love and to fulfill his workmanship. We are the clay, right? He took that old clunk of clay. It was hard. It was brittle. And he added some water, and he started molding it again because he said, I want to make you into something completely new. That's what he calls us to. Number three, we are redeemed for a reason. What is the reason? I don't know, but we know this. All things work together for good, so that we are going to end up being conformed to the image of his son. What is the reason? He has reasons for all of us. I found out some reasons this week. Okay? Godly pursuit. Kyle Freilich was at my house fixing things that I can't fix. My wife says, look, there's the outlet's out. The water, you know, need to fix the, it was the RO, the water on the sink didn't work. This didn't work. He's down there fixing that. Jody and some of his guys, they're out fixing the water. Why? Because I can't fix anything. Right? And I can tell you this, in that time, that's a godly pursuit. I appreciate that, having that knowledge, right? And so, and the witness, right? I got people, a guy in my house I can trust. I got somebody who's on the outside I can trust. Isn't that nice, right? Don't forget in your pursuits, right? And tell you what, David Patterson saved us one time in Nevada. I probably shouldn't embarrass him like this. But his wife's not only good at announcing, she can help him. And they put a roof on the back of that house when we couldn't get it finished. And I'm going to tell you something, that was ministering to us at that time. So we have a lot of Brandon. I want to leave you out. You were over helping me the other day because my back can only do so much. And Dwayne over with the Bobcat, I had a lot of people ministering to me this week. Anyway, it's a glory. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it as unto the Lord, okay? I don't care if you're delivering packages. That's a godly pursuit, isn't it? Because everything we do, right? God calls everybody. Point number three, the purpose of prayer. Verse 11 says what? Strengthened with all might, and then this is incredible, according to God's glorious power for all patience and long-suffering. Do you know we have the same power God has? Remember, he wants us to be like, he's instilling his power into us. And he's saying, I want you to use this for my glory. Don't misuse it for your purposes. Some points there. Number one, he gives us strength and power, the strength of his glory. Number two, patience and endurance. I have a star there because that's one apparently that I need a lot more of that one. But think of it this way. It's not just I get to something, I got to endure this. He is preparing us to endure. In fact, for all of us, we will all walk to death's door at some point in time if the Lord doesn't come back. Life is preparing us to trust him that when he tells us, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, right? We are preparing ourselves now. Everything in life is preparation to trust him fully, completely. Patience and endurance. Number three, long suffering and joy. You might want to write to the side there. Where'd Dwayne go to? Okay, there he is right there. Okay. This is why Chicago Cub fans, Jordan wasn't here, so I brown eye. Chicago Cub fans are more Christ-like. Because they are long-suffering, okay? Every 100 years. I mean, that's a long time, right? I mean, the Israelites thought that was tough, wandering around, all right? That's tough, all right? On a serious note, because Dwayne's going to take it from here, he's going to add joy in the next teaching, but joyfulness in the long-suffering, it doesn't say long-faced, right? It doesn't say long-complaining. I probably should star that one too. It says long-tempered. A personality able to bear injury. Does this happen to you? You ever bear injury from other people? To bear injury or provocation without anger. Lord is long-suffering with humanity. It's a soul stable with joyful expectations of the eternal good. And then here's the passage about Jesus over in Hebrews. Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. He didn't complain about it. He didn't say, oh, do you guys see what I'm going through? He said, Lord, I don't want to drink this cup. If there's any way possible, right? I think, by the way, and we've got resurrections coming up, I think we always concentrate on the physical part of that. But you think about it. When he left heaven and become a child, he had to leave glory. But when he went to the cross, he had to leave his Father. Do you understand that that's something that he will never ask us to do? We never have to be separated from God. But his Father had to turn away from him on the cross, and he suffered and he endured joyfully for us. He endured the cross, Hebrews 12. So the summary there is that we are personally prepared in power. We're endued with God's power, transformed in power, and that we have joyful endurance. Next one, I'm going to just hit a couple of things, these real quick. I had thought about this and thought I might do a little bit more on John 15, but I'm just going to read a couple of things. But this is that passage, you know, as we're talking about prayer. Abide in me, you know, and my words abide in you. You shall ask whatever you want, and it shall be done. Okay, so again, on this theme of prayer, as we look at these verses in Colossians, a couple of things there. We need to trust in prayer a real and reliable God. We have to be careful of real but unreliable emotions. God's real. Emotions are real. Here's the difference. God's reliable. Emotions are not. Trust him, even with your emotions. Number two, if we abide, we are side by side. What's he say? If you abide in me and my words in you, you ask what you desire and it shall be done. If we abide, we're right next to him. See, we won't ask things that are out of his will because we're right there with him. We're walking with him. And so this mystery of prayer thing, as we begin to look at the scripture, starts to open up. Verse 8, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. If we are side by side, not only do we get the prayers answered, he's also glorified. You see that? So what we're asking will make him apparent to other people and will be satisfying to us at the same time. What a blessing. What a blessing. Okay, let's go to the next part right down there at the bottom, and this is where it's going to get scary, okay? I have no idea if this is going to come off as one of the worst things you've ever seen. All I know is my wife, it wasn't quite cleaning fish, but I did have a hacksaw on the kitchen counter to which I, right, my sawzall was, the batteries were out. I couldn't get that done. Am I cutting through the counter? Oh, boy, I was just about in big trouble, right? So we're going to see, but I want you to think about this in this way. All analogies break down. I'm not trying to, I can't be perfect in this, but I'm trying to be practical. Does that make sense? So John will talk afterwards if I miss a point, okay? But I want to try to, this prayer thing, I want to kind of look at this both from what do people, when they're unsaved, because you know unsaved people pray, right? Oh, yeah. You'll hear them say things like, I'm praying to the universe. Yes, have we seen that? Prayers to the universe. I see that. Just sending them out somewhere, okay? Listen, prayers don't mean anything if they don't go to the throne of God. Doesn't matter what you say. Doesn't matter how you pray. It matters who you pray to. So we're going to look at that. But anyway, God's will, again, going back to Andy's first point, is not to inform God, but to be formed by God. It's funny when we pray, we're like, you know, we almost think like, God, I know you don't know this, but I went to the doctor and it was a bad, right? I've been to the bank and things aren't looking good, right? I really upset my wife, and he's thinking, believe me, I already know, okay? She's already beat you to prayer. She was already there, right? But why do we struggle with that? Okay, so I'm going to try this. This may be the last teaching I ever do. We'll see. I know this for sure. You will not hire me as a plumber after you see this. Okay. So, this is bad, isn't it? Give me at least some credit because I spent $40 on the parts. So we're going to see if, do you think CNC would take it back with the tags on it? I don't know. I've already cut the pieces. It may not. All right. So I want you to look at this, and I'm going to try to go from this side forward and say, this is an unsaved person, okay? This is the soul. I mean, this is the spirit right here. This is the soul, and this is the flesh. Okay? When we are unsaved, we have a dead spirit. What's on the end of this? It's an end cap. God's spirit cannot penetrate because we have a dead spirit. They can hear words, right? You can witness to them. You can say they're dead in spirit. They don't know. This then is the soul, okay? This is an ungodly soul. Well, don't say bad things about people. No. Unsaved people are ungodly. They are unlike God. Their affections are not like God. Their thoughts are not like God. And so they can't get any influence from the spirit into the soul. So you see, see the open end right here? This is the flesh. This flesh is unrighteous. So ungodliness is we don't act like God. Unrighteousness is we don't think, we don't act, we don't do this. And so the flesh flows completely back into the soul. And then we have complete turmoil in our lives. Do you know people like that? And so if they want something, right, they do it right now. Well, I want that. Well, what if that means about I'm stomping on people? Doesn't matter. It's what I want. And it goes into the soul, and the soul is in constant turmoil. And everything, if you will, is flowing backwards in life. Okay? And then something happens magically, right? God calls us, and we turn ourselves around. Now, it's open, isn't it? Now God's Spirit begins to flow into us. And so we now have God's Spirit coming into us. So as that righteous soul, if you will, you see on here I have two choices. Okay? We can, as believers, we have full access to God, right? 100% by the way of His Spirit. You don't get part of the Spirit and then get more later and you get, okay? But here's what we can do. Let's say we were unsaved. As God comes and awakens us, we begin to turn this valve and open it up. I read the Word. I begin to go to church. I listen to His music. I get around fellow believers. I become discipled. But then we know we can do what? We can start to quench the Spirit. So we're in this constant battle of our soul, right? And our soul is feeding off of our spirit. So let me ask you this. Are we wide open? Are we letting that Spirit completely influence us? Are we partially opened? We closed off? In fact, the Bible says this. Believers who do not live according to God's will and God's ways are the most pitiful of all people. You're miserable, right? And then we get over here, if you will, to the flesh. Now, just hold on a second because I've got my next creation, okay? Please don't look at my cuts because it's really bad. Hacksaws do not work really well. All right, so we come over here, and this is the flesh now, okay? Now, remember, when we were saved or unsaved, we were here. But God turned us around. Right? And now, how does it come out in the flesh? Well, two things. Up here in the flesh, we have submitted or crucified. Look at that. It's open-ended. And then I put a cap down here. That's the old flesh. That's the war-torn flesh. But sometimes, we do this. We take that cap off and we start letting that flesh influence the soul. And now we got to fight right here, don't we? We got the Spirit, and the Bible says the Spirit has what feelings against the flesh? Enmity, right? Hates. There's a war going on. When we're praying, which end should we start with? Should we pray in the Spirit with spiritual understanding, love in the Spirit? Or should we start with, God, this is what I want? You see? I think that's where a lot of... So, we think about this, God helps us, right? He says, crucify the flesh. So He says, I need you to put a cap on all those wants and desires. I don't want that influence in your soul. I want the Holy Spirit to be allowed to completely fill. He's 100%, but we're the ones that decide whether we quench or not. So where does prayer start? Why do we not know God's will? Because we do this. And we take the cap off, and we say, God, do you not know what I want? I'd like for you to come alongside with me and agree with what I want and make me happy. And so we allow that to start flooding in, And then the soul's conflicted because the Holy Spirit says, but that's not what I want. You never asked me. So what's our key to finding out what's God's will in prayer? Number one, fully given to Him. Not quenched spirit. In fact, Charlie might say this, right, Hallie? Have you guys done this yet? This little light of mine? What do we do with the light? We let it shine. Oh, yeah, that's right. There you go. He's letting it shine. Okay? We're deciding whether we're hiding that under a bushel or we're allowing the Spirit to have full access to us. Right? And when we do that, as adults, we know, yeah, but you got to crucify the flesh, right? So I got to put that and say, just like Jesus said, Lord, not my, your will. I'm going to shut that part off. I want you to flow through me. And then what's it say right up here? It says, this is my submitted, if you will, flesh. And it's going to lead to a soul that is satisfied. You want satisfaction? Mick Jagger can't find it because he's not saved. Right? And what did he find out? I can't get no, right? Because I won't say no to my flesh because I can't because he has no, he's got a cap on the end. Allow God to fully flow from the Spirit into your soul. You won't have to worry about what's God's will. Because as Andy told us, God's will is not that you know what He knows, but is to what? To be as He is. Our problem in prayer is not that we don't know, right? Scripture tells us, who can know the mind of God? We can't understand. His ways are higher than ours. They're not our ways, right? But what do? We allow the Holy Spirit to flow through, to consume our soul to such a point that it flushes out, right? All of this stuff that we've allowed the flesh to bring in over the years. And then we have a complete source of living water that flows through us. And then guess what people get on the other side? You see, now it flows out of the flesh. Love your neighbor. That kindness, that godliness, that righteousness, it flows out because we've capped the flesh. I don't know if that's the worst analogy you ever saw, but I do want to thank my wife. No. The poor thing, she's holding the ends. I'm hacksawing. She's, watch my hands, I'm right. That was tough on the flesh, wasn't it? We only have a couple of cuts in the counters. We need new counters anyway. So some of you guys, where's Brandon? Brandon's back. He could pour. Brandon, you could pour the countertops on top of where I made all the cuts. I knew I had one other. I'm thinking, I know there's more builders than that. So he poured the bathroom for us at Nevada. We didn't do hardly anything. We just got everybody to come over and fix that old house. But anyway, folks, if I've tried to make this analogy practical, it's not perfect, okay? So let's kind of review real quick, and then we'll close. We want the Holy Spirit to flow completely through us. Don't quench the Spirit. Read the Word. Get in Sunday school. Get in your home groups. Pray at meals. Spend time with your spouse. Pray together. Love on your kids, right? Walk with Him. Even, folks, if you have to, just take your phone. Play the Scripture, right? You can get the audio Bible on your Scripture. You can walk. You can listen to it. Just tell yourself, I've got to allow that Spirit to flow fully because I'm tired of my soul being conflicted, right? We all do it. And then when I do that, then I crucify the flesh. I get rid of it because Romans, and I want to end with this verse, I think it's 13:14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Am I right in that verse? I think I'm right. 13:14. And make no provision for the flesh. Full Spirit, do not allow the flesh to influence me. Then it can flow through and others can be the beneficiary of that. How do we pray? We pray in the Spirit, not in the flesh. How do we live? We live in the Spirit. What's verse 8 say? Paul says, I heard, I know about your love in the Spirit. And what's verse 9 say? That you would have all spiritual understanding. If we put those two things together, we'll pray. We'll ask whatever we will, and He will answer. Let's pray and we'll close.